And so we had one of our boys that struggled with really rebellion in his high school years, and then that transition to drug use his junior and senior year. And we were honestly, we were ill prepared to handle that. When you're a parent with young kids, you almost think that if you make right choices, if you do right things, your kids will then always make right choices. Then you're confronted fairly early on that really that's not how it works. Everybody's got to take that baton of faith to themselves.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Hey guys, welcome back to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where we help men step out of the dark into the light and be empowered by the gospel. And I'm here as usual with author, speaker, Chris Bollinger, who wrote the Daily Strength for Men, Men's Devotional. Chris, good to be back with you, buddy.
Hey, Mike, great to be here.
Yeah, we have a special guest today, as we do always. And but you and I have a little bit of a connection with this person today.
Right.
Today's interview is with Dan Gregory, who is one of the founding members of the Restore Recovery Center in Akron, Ohio. And so first of all, Dan Gregory, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. It's great to be here, and just it's great to just be doing this alongside CLC as I'm a graduate. And I think, boy, it's 8 or 9 years ago now. Time flies, but
wow.
The CLC program was so impactful in my life and in all the men that I know that have had it. So I'm so grateful to be talking with both of you.
That's great, man. I love it. So Dan, if you wouldn't mind, give us a quick lay of the land right now. What do you do? What's your family look like? What professionally, what does it look like for you right now? Because I know when you started Restore, we'll get into some of those details. It was kind of I don't know if I'd call it a side hustle, but it was more of like a side, more like a side calling or something. I don't know, but explain to us a little bit about where you are professionally and give us a little background on your family, if you wouldn't mind.
I will. And based on that, I think you'll keep the listeners listening because they're going to want to know what that side hustle is all about.
That's right.
I'm currently president of a small organization called Victory Innovations, and we make electrostatic sprayers. It's a phenomenal company with some great people. And so that's sort of what I would say is my full-time job, but it provides me a lot of flexibility to stay very much involved in Restore. So with Restore, my title is president and trustee. But we're really not title driven. We just all get in there and get things done. And so, so my passion is Restore, and it's really seeing men's lives change. That's what drew me in originally. I love seeing people flourish. And so, I spend as much time, down at Restore as I can with the guys, both in mentorship roles and programming and just helping to, continue to refine the program, keeping in mind we just opened January 18th.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. And then Dan, you're married, you've got kids.
Yes, married, 6 kids, ranges 21 to 31, but don't ask me specific birthdays and ages in there, but they get blurry in the middle, but there are, I have 5 sons and 1 daughter and 2 grandkids.
Wow. Praise God, man. Praise God. That's amazing. All right.
Yeah,
so then
people always say, well, you know, what's your hobby? And I say, well, if your hobby is what you spend your time on and what you spend your money on, then, you know, all my time goes with those kids and I'm broke. So that's where all the money went to. So it's a great endeavor, no doubt.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, okay, so let's start out after getting a little bit of the lay of the land there. Let's hear your fence post story. Tell us about your faith journey. And then, of course, that'll lead to Restore, the Recovery Center, and your sure. involvement in that. And we'll get to that. But let's hear a little bit about your faith journey.
Well, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, for the most part, and I went from sixth grade on to a great Christian school called Worthington Christian High School. And I started there in sixth grade, went through high school. It was there that I met my future wife. So I was in 10th grade. She was in 11th grade. So I was one of those guys that, you know, dated his high school sweetheart. We eventually got married. I'm also one of those fortunate individuals that married up. It took her 7 years to agree to marry me. So we got married as we finished college. And so I grew up sort of in the church, you know, going to church, grew up in that sort of evangelical network. And so that drove a lot of our early decisions on how we lived our lives, on our parenting, and on everything else. I was also fortunate enough to, in my college years, when I went to the Ohio State University, for those of you who aren't from Ohio, when I went to Ohio State, I was fortunate enough to have a wonderful mentor who was a young pastor who was starting a church in Dublin, Ohio. And so I had a little different sort of college years. I helped start a church. And so we did everything from back then. It was visitation to, you know, he taught me how to lead Bible studies. And so I had a little different, you know, college experience. And that just drove a lot of my theology as I graduated from college. And it drove a lot of our decisions in parenting as we sort of parented our kids. We decided to homeschool our kids through sixth or seventh or eighth grade, depending on the child. And we just had a sort of a great experience, and we're still and have been always very involved in church and ministry.
So, Dan, obviously there's a lot of good points in having that upbringing and having the church be the center of your life. But you mentioned before the show that there were some influences on your life that maybe if they weren't negative, they definitely didn't prepare you for some of the things that happened in your life. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So, you know, as any young parent, you set out with a lot of ideals, right? So you have goals and aspirations for how you want your family to go and how your kids are going to be raised. And, you know, you realize at a sort of a young age, and even as a Christian, you know, you're saved by faith through grace and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. And, you know, when you're a parent with young kids, you almost think that if you make right choices, if you do right things, your kids will then always make right choices. And you're confronted fairly early on that really that's not how it works. Everybody's got to take that baton of faith to themselves. And so we had one of our boys that struggled with really rebellion in his high school years, and then that transition to drug use his junior and senior year. And we were honestly, we were ill prepared to handle that. And that drove me to work with our senior pastor, Joe Coffey at Christ Community Chapel, who's just a visionary, quick decision maker, kind of individual. And we were literally in his office talking about my next steps in my career and my passion for, you know, doing something different in this addiction space. And he said, why don't we do this together? You know, why don't we, and I love what we sort of coined, why don't we as Christians run into the fire, not away from it. And back in 2016 and 17, you remember this was the epidemic we were talking about. I mean, we had record number of deaths. Fentanyl was just being entered into the scene. And there was a lot of talk about opiate addiction. And so we said, you know, let's get into this messiness, which we knew we were doing, right? I mean, we're entering into where this space needed. So we decided as a team, let's get into that long-term care. And we wanted to start with men that had the ability to work, because that, you know, this addiction issue plagues all aspects and all all parts of our society, but certainly it was impacting men more than any other demographic. So we went after that first. And so,
hey Dan, let me stop you right there before you get into details about what you did. You mentioned that you were troubled by what you found, and that there really weren't good solutions out there, whether it's for your son who's struggling or really for anybody. And you also mentioned that 2016, 2017 was a really bad time. Well, from what I've heard, it really hasn't gotten a lot better. In fact, right. I was at Trivia of all places this week, and the question was, you know, the U.S. set a record in deaths between April of last year and April of this year in what area? I think it was 100,000 deaths, and the answer was drug addiction. So obviously it's still a big issue. And so can you explain a little bit about what you found? You said that there's not good long-term care because of how things are funded. So what exactly does that mean for somebody who's not real familiar with this arena?
Well, what I would say is there's a lot of organizations doing a lot of good work, but a lot of it would be a little disjointed because everybody works in sort of one area. And so when you talk about the full continuum of care, if you back up and say, well, if somebody is struggling with a drug or alcohol problem where it has impaired their life, they need lots of different inputs now. They need help in resume building. They need not only help in changing their life about the addiction, but then all the, what I would say, the downward impacts of all that as well. And so when we look at the continuum of care, how do we take an individual, in our case, how do we take a man in a state of brokenness to a state of wholeness and healing? And how do we help them the whole way, as opposed to saying, well, here's where we can help you, but I know you need help here. That's just not what our program does. So we wanted to look at, well, no, how do we take that brokenness and in a 1 year span, do our best to provide everything that man needs to leave? And what we stated upon that exit is a safe place to leave, a healthy support network, a sort of renewed understanding and interest in God, themselves and others, sort of renewing those relationships. And then they need a vocation and a job. So those are goals that we wanted to not only set for the men, but when the men leave, we've checked all those boxes. It's not a program where they come in, we work on their drug and alcohol problem, and then we hope when they leave, they can check those boxes. We work on that while they're here. So their exit is pretty anticlimactic. Those boxes have all been checked. They're just actually moving from one location to another. They've already got a job. They know what church they're going to attend. They've got a healthy support network. All that is set up.
Okay. And how did you find out all this? I mean, you know, did you have any background? Did you study this in school at all? Did you have any vocational background with this? Or how did you discover that we had a broken system out there when it came to helping people not only overcome drug addiction, but also to kind of get their lives back together?
Well, honestly, I have no background in that. I've got no letters behind my name. I'm just a concerned dad, right? Just like anybody else that, you know, you want to, you know, when your family's in crisis, dads fix things, right? Mm-hmm. So I jumped in and I realized I can't fix this. I'm trying to find a way to help my son. And that's what drove me. And so we said, in this order, we're going to be Christ-centered, biblically based, and clinically supported. And we the order of those is even important. And even in that sort of understanding of what we wanted to be in our mission, we don't even use the term faith-based because we really want to say we're Christ-centered. The way someone is transformed, as we know through Romans 12. You're transformed by the way you think, and that's through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working your life. It is in my understanding, it is only Christ that ultimately changes lives. Mm-hmm. And so that's not only our starting point, but it's our ending point.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I love this. I just want to, Dan, I think it's incredible what you did and how you approached this. You took the skills and the ways that God had gifted you in who you were at the moment, and you applied those skills to a problem in an arena or a space where there were missing pieces, and you were able to see those missing pieces, but you weren't an expert in that field either. But often I think where we're not experts, where we might be more, maybe even just generalists, I think our perspective can be unique and lend a ton of value to certain places like that. And the reason I say all this is just because I think it's a lesson to men, you know, don't be afraid to engage in an area that you're not familiar with. Your outside perspective could be very valuable, and the gifts you bring to bear in solving that problem for God's kingdom and his purposes, there could be a lot of potential in that. And so I just applaud your courage and your boldness to go after that.
Well, it's interesting, Mike. I you've heard this said before. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not the smartest one in the room. And some people say that in a sort of a fake, humble way. I really know, living with my family, because I was one of those guys that married like an extraordinarily smart wife. So I lose at every game in the house. So I'm conditioned that I'm not the smartest one in the room, but you can still surround yourself by amazingly bright people that have skill sets you don't have. And that's really what has been the amazing part of Restore.
Hey guys, did you know that the least represented demographic among men in the church today are millennials, ages 24 to about 40? Most people would not be surprised that millennial men aren't attending church, but did you know that a Barna research study recently revealed that among men who attend church on a regular basis, the most engaged were millennial men? In fact, 72% of millennial men attending church are engaged in some sort of study or small group of some kind, while ages 35 to 54, there's only 54% involved, and it goes down to 40% when you look at ages 55 and older. Hi, my name is Mike Hatch, and if you have millennial men attending your church, CLC has a fantastic resource for you to be able to disciple them and engage them. And it's called Elbow to Elbow, and it's for young adult men in their 20s and 30s. Elbow to Elbow equips young adult men to lead from a Christ-centered foundation in their homes, at church, in their communities, and in the marketplace. You can find out more about the Elbow to Elbow study if you go to clchq.org or shoot me an email at mhatch@clchq.org. And I'd love to tell you more about this really fantastic study and how you can integrate it into your discipleship strategy in your church. That's all for now. So let's get back to the interview.
It's interesting you said, Dan, that, you know, as you were talking to people in the space, people who treat addicts, people who are involved in various programs, they identified the holes, they identified the gaps. They said, we would do it this way if we could get funding, or we have seen that, you know, this works really well. Unfortunately, we're not able to do this because of blah, blah, blah. So it sounds like you had to be a really good listener. I mean, you mm-hmm. were trying to solve a problem. You were trying to find an innovative way to solve a problem, which a lot of entrepreneurs do. And what you did was you took out a pad of paper and you asked people questions and you wrote down what they said. And then you kind of put the pieces together and said, okay, well, you know, we've identified the problems with the existing solutions. And if we did this, everybody's telling us that this has a chance of being successful.
Yeah, you're right. And then, you know, one of the key elements of that too was in that sort of, okay, well, what is actually happening in this space? Who's doing well? Who would we want to benchmark? Mm-hmm. I was blessed to find an organization down in Columbus, Ohio, called The Refuge. And it's been led by Tom Thompson, who I think he's in his 21st or 22nd year. And so I connected with him and I said, man, your program is really close. I mean, as I'm looking at all mm-hmm. the things that need to happen, your program is really great. And he just jumped right into it. And he goes, well, do you want to replicate it? And I said, sure. And I thought, well, I wonder how deep this guy's going to go with me. And I said, well, can you open up all of your books? Can you show me all the hidden secrets and the secret sauce. And I loved his approach. His approach is this is ours to give away. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that's the beauty of ministry. You thrive by giving it away. And even when we developed the business plan, I titled it open source. Anyone can have it. I would be more than happy, because it's not my plan. It's my plan based on input from so many other people. So as often as we can, and sometimes it's just the time limitation, we're very willing to tell everybody anything we're doing. We hope that people can glean from us. What I loved that Tom said, I'll never forget it. He said, "I'll tell you everything I do, but if you try something different and it works better, call me." And so we've had that relationship back and forth where we're trying different things. And if something works, I go, "Hey, Tom, you got to do this." Or if something doesn't work, I said, "Hey, Tom, we tried this, don't do it." And that was the other beauty of it, is we set out to say, we think that the actual facility and the land that it's on is part of that healing process. Mm. So my vision for this is this facility on a rolling hill, sort of in a country setting, but still in like the city area. And I know that's a crazy ask. Like, how do you find that? And so in the early planning, I was with Joe Coffey in front of our church, Christ Community Chapel, explaining what Restore was going to be all about. And Joe just asked this innocent question. He said, "Hey, what can we pray for you about?" And I said, "Hey, Joe, you could pray that that we find like 30 acres of this beautiful property to put Restore on." And then I paused for a moment and I said, "And if you could pray that we could get that for free."
Yes.
The irony is
just a little prayer.
Is that the congregation laughed. Well, fast forward a year from that, we got the land for free.
Wow.
Love
it. And literally we have 18 beautiful acres in southern Akron, Southern Summit County.
Dan, what's the typical guy or that would enter into this program, if you wouldn't mind sharing? Like, is this someone who's tell me who would be a candidate, if you will, for this.
Right.
And maybe a brief description or summary of that process they go through.
That's a great question. We're still learning a lot about what that typical person is. But as the addiction crisis has really spread its wings across all populations, I mean, I think we've seen almost every kind of guy that could walk through that door. I've got young guys that are 21 years old that have battled this since they're in high school, and it's gotten to the point where they need a long-term program. I've got people in their 50s. And then I've got everyone in between, people who have spent time in prison that are just coming out, people that their primary addiction was alcohol, or somebody else's primary addiction was cocaine or fentanyl. So the range has been honestly all over the board. Because I think that's sort of the beauty of Restore, is the men are so different when they come through those doors, but they share a commonality that creates a brotherhood that is amazingly powerful. So you'll notice when you visit Restore, as the men come through the program and the ministry, they become very good friends and they lean on one another. You know, keeping in mind, Restore is a building, it's a ministry and a program, but it's people, right? Mm-hmm. And we like to say, we're a greenhouse. We're a building that allows flourishing to work just easy, right? It's easy to flourish at Restore, and that's the hope, and that's what we provide for the men. So when they exit, they're ready to go in that regard. They've got to obey the rules. This isn't a facility. You can leave at any time. There's not a requirement to stay, but it's a year long program. And to stay, you've got to participate. You've got to be part of Restore. We like to say that it's not a place that you come to; it's a place that you begin to participate in. Mm. So it's not a. We're not looking for people who look at it as consumers. We're looking, when you come into Restore, you become part of the fabric of Restore, even in terms of leadership and things like that. These men have incredible gifts, incredible leadership skills. And what I love to see, honestly, is as the men come in so broken, you know, a month, 2 months in, you start seeing these skill sets develop or skill sets that have been hidden. And this happens with every one of the men. I mean, and I can give you so many examples of, I mean, just last week, as we were getting ready for Thanksgiving, somebody brought in all these flowers that somebody had donated. They weren't organized. I said, hey, if you could use these, this would be great. Well, one of the guys, unbeknownst to us, said, let me take those. And he created this amazing floral arrangement. Mm-hmm. And my wife, Jennifer, said, well, how did you do that? He goes, well, I've got experience in that. And just to see the guys flourish or because it's a ministry where the guys partner up, we don't have cooks, we don't have cleaners, we don't have yard maintenance. The men participate in that. And so as they come in, a guy will go, well, you know what? I'm actually a chef. Well, that's good news. That means we're going to eat well for a while, right?
Yeah, those guys eat really well. We were there.
Yes.
They eat very well. There's some very good chefs there.
Yeah. So that's part of what makes it flourish. So you just have to have the ability to want to be part of it. We're not a mental health facility. So if somebody struggles, Mike, with severe sort of mental issues, it's tough for us to help that person. So we want to make sure we stay in our sweet spot. We do have counseling. The men get a licensed Christian counseling through Emerge, which has been a wonderful partner of ours. But we're not a medical facility. We're a ministry. A lot of it revolves around, honestly, and this is what makes CLC so great, right? Because men resist. We don't want to bond, and we want to get home at the end of the day, and we don't want to talk to anyone. It's the nature of men, right? Yeah. And that's what made CLC so great for most men. It's like, let's be honest, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but how many guys in CLC were strongly encouraged to do that by their wives?
99.9%.
Right. All right. But then through that process, recognize, man, what was my life a desert? I was built by God to need community, right? And so a lot of what we teach inside Restore are things that are lacking in our lives anyway. Like one is just the Matthew 18 conflict resolution.
Yep.
What does the Bible say about managing conflict? And we were walking the guys through that because, you know, obviously you get a bunch of men in a program like this that there's some conflict, right?
Oh yeah.
And I had the opportunity to sit down with about 15 of our guys. And I said, well, what does the Bible say about managing conflict? And the room got quiet. And some of these people were Christians, some weren't. We walked through Matthew 18. And I love what one guy said. He goes, you know what? I just learned what everybody else learned, that it's fight or flight. And I said, and isn't it awesome that the Bible presents not even a third way, but the right way? And so it's discipleship, right? You're teaching.
Yeah.
We're teaching the same things. As somebody who has grown up in the church, when you walk through Restore, it's going to feel very familiar. It's discipleship.
Yeah. All right. We're running low on time, so I want to wrap up. But before we do, I wanted to share the video that we created about CLC's partnership with Restore. And Dan, if I remember correctly, you have not seen it yet. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So what I want to do is I want to show it. And those who are listening to the podcast will hear it. And I think it's, you know, it'll be just as impactful to hear it. And then I'd love to get your honest feedback and thoughts right after we show this. Okay.
Or sure.
Air it. Okay.
Jason Knapp. I'm 45 years old from Akron, Ohio. I came to Restore, or I got to Restore as I had a relapse when COVID hit. I was in pretty bad shape, and my mother had told me, you need help. And I said, well, if it's that easy to find it, then I'll do a year. And she said, all right, call this guy on Monday. You can go here. And that was the following Monday they opened, and I've been here since January 18th.
My name is Nate Gregory. I'm 26 years old, and Restore is a year-long commitment I made to change everything about my life. When I was 16, I started experimenting with drugs and alcohol. That really took capture of my life the next 8 years, and I battled with that for 8 years. And when I came to Restore, I was pretty beaten and broken.
A friend of mine named Rick King is a volunteer here, and he was telling me about Restore and what they were doing here. And so I started to explain to him our new study at CLC called Getting Real and just living life together with men. And he just looked at me and says, I think we could use that at Restore. So I came out and on a Wednesday, and they had me for dinner and hung out and came down in this room, and we did praise and worship for about an hour straight. And I just knew right then that this was the place for me to be. And
there's two things that I do every day faithfully here at Restore. One of them's make my bed, and the other one is read my CLC devotional every morning after I make my bed. So for me to even think about reading once a day is, I would have never did that.
It's been really cool because it's, men don't talk with each other normally like we do at CLC. We get real deep, we get more than just sports and service level stuff, and Doug has really helped us kind of dig a little deeper and thinking and why we do some of the things we do and how we can do some things different.
When we've talked about, you know, how God has restored our relationship with Him through His Son, our sins are forgiven and we're not what we were in the past. You know, God sees us with our potential that He sees us, and that's a good way to be seen. And so that just, you know, puts us all on an even playing field, because I always tell these guys, and they know it, if it wasn't, you know, Christ, we're all a mess without Him, and we all need a Savior.
Relationships for me were me, myself, and I. Those were the only relationships I had. No other relationships mattered to me. Me, myself, and I could only hold me accountable. But now that I've met other brothers, they can hold me accountable, and that truly helps me.
Since Restore, I have seen some restoration with my family. I've gained new friends and mentors, and it's just really been helpful to me to get closer with God.
To me, it's a highlight of my week, coming here and hanging out with these guys. I consider them my brothers, and when I go home, I'm just pumped. My wife, she just shakes her head because she can see the excitement in me, and I just enjoy being with these guys.
So Dan, as you know, Chris and I got to visit, and we did that interview with a couple guys there. Doug Hay, who's the area director, was part of that interview and does CLC with some of the guys who were there, the Getting Real study, as he mentioned. But I'm curious about your response to the video and just in general now the relationship that Restore has forged with CLC.
Well, I mean, what made it such a great partnership is once those guys hit that phase three, they're ready for deeper connections. And that's really what CLC is all about. And the program that CLC developed was such a perfect fit into what those guys, what their needs were at the time. And as you know, I mean, I've known Doug for a while. I know Doug's family. And what a great heart he has for people, and his ability to come in and to just relate to anyone has been great. But you saw, like in Jason, in the comments that Jason made, just the depth of his own faith, how his faith has grown through Restore. And our expectation isn't that everyone has that same level of sort of development, just like it isn't for CLC, right? I mean, there's different people that it impacts their lives in different ways. But when I watch that video, it's a reminder, because boy, ministry's tough. I mean, right? It's got its ups and downs, but I look at it like, you know, hitting a hole in one, right? You hit a great shot, and man, you want to golf for a lot more. You just need a good shot every once in a while, right?
Right. And so That's right.
When you hear Jason's story and you hear the impact this has made on Nate's life, it's all you need to fuel yourself for a long time moving forward. And so we're just so thankful that that CLC and then everyone else who's had input along the way has been able to come in. And like I said at the beginning, that that continuum of care, what do the guys need to go from a honestly, as Jason said, a life of selfishness where you're focused on just you to a complete Romans 12 transition to a life of wholeness, of giving, of being an image bearer and thinking about other people. And Restore, that greenhouse of Restore, is a one-year program just to help them go through that process.
Yeah, so Chris, you and I got to go and experience Restore. And by the way, just FYI, for those of you who want, I will put the link to the video I just showed. I'll upload it to YouTube on our CLC channel. So those of you who want to see it, you can go ahead there and check it out. But Chris, I know you and I went to go visit Restore. And man, we had an incredible time, didn't we?
Yeah, it was just incredible is not even a strong enough word. I mean, it was just, I'm trying to describe for others, you know, what it was like. And the best analogy I can use goes back to David Deary, who was the family life missionary that we had on, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And he and his wife were doing couples ministry in family life, but now they're doing prison ministry. And he jokes about how he can't wait to get back to prison. You know, they do let him out at the end of the time, but you know, and it was so funny, but so after talking with him, it was so obvious why that is. It's because when he's in prison, speaking with men in prison, they're the most authentic people you're going to meet. And that's what happened when we went to Restore. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I've been around people who are struggling with addiction and, you know, didn't really know what to say to them in other contexts. So I walk up to the building and begin to meet these guys and talk to these guys. And after a couple of hours, I don't want to leave, you know, and yeah, you know, man, and I'm really sad that I'm in Florida now, because when I'm in Ohio, I'm, you know, half an hour away, and I'd have the opportunity to do what Doug does, which is to go there every week and be with these guys, because it was just the most amazing experience. I mean, when these guys worship, they worship with no pretense, because everybody knows why they're there. Just like everybody knows when you're in prison, everybody knows why you're there. There's no false pretenses. There's no secrets. There's no hiding what you're struggling with. And once that's out of the way, these guys are just authentic. You know, they're working their way forward. They have hope now, and they have Christ in their lives, or at least they're on the path to having Christ active in their lives. And it's just an amazing thing to see.
I mean, you probably felt this, and I'm sure both of you did. It helps you when you're there to recognize sometimes your lack of authenticity.
Exactly.
I mean, it does me.
Great point.
When I'm there, this is going to sound interesting. I just let my guard down. It's like, you know, we're all men. We all struggle. I find it because my wife and I spend a lot of time down there. I'm like you. I love spending time down there.
Yeah.
I lose at Skippo every week with the same guy. It's just, you know, but there's authentic conversations and you jump right into it. Like you don't have to start with the fluffy stuff. You jump into how's the week going? What are you struggling with? And you're exactly right. It's just very authentic, which is what we all should be, right?
Exactly.
Well, all right. So Dan, this has been, man, so inspiring and hope breathing. Just thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for your time with us. So if someone wanted to reach out to you or find out more about Restore, where would they go?
Well, they can just go to our webpage. So it's restoreaddictionrecovery.com, right? You can find us there. You can find us on Facebook and stuff, but I don't know how to do that because I'm old, but we're on Facebook and all the other social media platforms. You can also simply call us at 800-357-8684. And on there, if you go to our website, we provide for men, hey, here's all the things, the requirements, things to bring. pretty much anything you need to know about Restore is on there. So you can go there or call us, and we're more than happy to talk to family members or people that want to come to Restore either way.
And I would encourage people to contact Restore, even if you don't have someone in your life right now who's struggling with addiction, because there are opportunities to help out with Restore. I mean, you can be on a prayer partners list. You can pray for a guy there. I actually got to meet the guy that I was praying for, which was terrific. Mm-hmm. But you know, just knowing that you're praying for a guy who's trying to get his life right, who's working through the process, who's following Christ, is just a great opportunity. So that's reason enough to contact Restore. But if you have somebody in your life, and many of us do, if you have somebody in your life who's struggling with addiction, then yeah, check them out. I mean, you know, they're doing it right. And it's an opportunity for someone potentially, you know, to be a part of the program.
Yep. Dan Gregory, man, thank you so much for joining us here on the Empowered Manhood Podcast.
Thanks, Mike and Chris. Always a pleasure.